The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 30th, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hey buddy, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Well, I have a special guest joining me in the studio is Dr. Andrea Hall. Andrea is the Community Outreach Coordinator for the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. She's a member of the Juneteenth Festival Organizing Committee. She's a published author and regular guest on Women's Spaces. I just love having Andrea on, and we'll be discussing the poem Ancestors Are Africans, who written by Enid Pickett. You know, it's very interesting. Enid Pickett, who is the poet laureate of the Healdsburg Jazz Festival, and she's the author of this poem, Juneteenth, Ancestors Are African, was scheduled to be with us this morning, but due to a change in her schedule, she could not make it. And I was so impressed with her poem and wanted her to read it on the air during the time of the Freedom Festival, which is taking place right now. And because she could not go, with her permission, I want to thank Enid for that, I invited Andrea to fill in for her. And so here we are. So good morning. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, Ken.
This is really, really, really amazing. Well, the Freedom Festival happens from June 19th, which is Juneteenth, and it ends Independence Day, which is July 4th. And I think that is so powerful, because this range of holidays is all about freedom. You know, and right now when we start looking at the world, you know, I listened to Amy Goodman before and I hear all this stuff that's going on across the globe. It's just amazing to me. And you know what, one thing that has really been on my mind, you know, here we are in 2025, another war is in the Middle East are happening, you know, with what's happening to Ukraine. And it just breaks my heart when I think of all the women and children that are suffering. You know, what's so different about today's world is that we can see everything. When I see what has happened on the Gaza Strip or in Israel or in Iran, and I see the buildings that were destroyed, I see the children that are crying in the street, I ask myself, who are we as a species, as a human species, that we give ourselves this permission? You know, when you think we're celebrating Juneteenth, which is the liberation, the last mention, or when the folks came to Galveston, Texas, a year after the Emancipation Proclamation was even written. I mean, I really believe that my African American friends understand freedom more than most of us, because I have to scratch my head when I think of all the freedoms that have been taken away from us in the past year. It really is chilling. Well, you know, this is the last Monday of the month, and as we do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And, you know, what is so important about that pledge? You know, I say it five times before I go on the air. And why is it important? Because as women, we have to stand up. We have to be heard. And what's so interesting about the pledge is when I think about it and I think of, you know, they just decided to vote not to defund Planned Parenthood again. How did that happen when we had such a strong women's movement? I mean, what was taken away? And I got news for you. I was watching on Facebook. You know, they have everything you can think of on Facebook. And I ran across a little, a 30-minute show about these people talking about the suffragette movement, the suffrage movement, and how black women wanted to be put on the back of the bus. And it wasn't for people like Ida B. Wells to stand up and say, hey, I'm not going to the back of the line. I'm going to be in front of the line. I mean, that kind of courage, that self-esteem that she had, you know, to go into places where they were hanging people, these lynchings that were going on. Oh, that self-esteem that she had. These are the shoulders of the women we are standing on. But I still have to ask that question. What is it in the human species that we give ourselves permission to be so damn destructive? I mean, it's just amazing. And I really believe it's important in reading Enid Pickett's poem. What's so important is because it's so timely. It kind of reminds you what went on. You know, there's a song called What's Going On, and sometimes I have to scratch my head. What is going on? I mean, this is so crazy. Why can't we live in peace? Why can't we just say stop, take a time out, sit down at the table, and start talking how we can live on the world, how we can live in the world together? Well, it's an amazing thing, you know. I'm going to be great-grandmother for the third time, and I just have to scratch my head. Well, I have a little bit of sad news here. You know, a friend of mine, an activist in the community, Alice Waco, passed away on June 29th. She was a longtime activist for peace and justice in Sonoma County, and she was also a retired counselor and teacher. She founded Educators for Social Responsibility, addressing clear disarmament, deforestation, and bias-free education. As a union president, she led a successful teacher strike for collective bargaining in Santa Rosa. I could go on and on about her. She was married to a beautiful man by the name of Bill McGee, who passed away several years ago. And, you know, it's really beautiful because he wrote a poetry, he wrote a book, and Alice gave me a copy of it. And I went and I took it out this morning. I want to see if maybe there was something that would show, kind of show their relationship. It's a beautiful book. It's called What is Beautiful? And when I opened it up, there right in front, dedicated to you, and I know that was to Alice. Well, my deep condolences going out to all her friends and family, and I know she had a lot of friends. And it's just so hard. So many people passing away. I guess this is the age that this happens, you know. And I was so excited because the Santa Rosa Democratic Club honored her this year, and we were able to get the National Organization for Women. We had a calendar, and we were able to honor her there. So rest in peace, Alice Waco. You did some wonderful things for our community, and I'm glad I got to know you. And for folks who are interested, if you go on www.womenspaces.com in 2021, I interviewed her. An amazing, amazing woman. Well, you know, like we do every Monday morning, our history is our strength. And, you know, it's amazing. Well, it's amazing what women do. This is a happy birthday to Kazi Tokoski. She was born June 29th, 1897, and made her transition in 1992. She was a physician who pioneered a place in medicine for women of Japanese ancestry. She was one of the physicians, the few physicians that they had. In fact, people were struggling at that time, who were allowed to practice medicine in the Japanese internment camps during World War II. Wow, when you start thinking about it, you know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. The things that we go through as people, and that what we give ourselves permission to do. Also, happy birthday to Margaret Storrs Garrison. She was born June 29th, 1900, made her transition in 1997. Boy, she almost lived to 100 years old. She was an activist, a professor, and founder and first director of the Sophia Smith Collection at Smith College, which molded into women's history archives. And before that, you know, when you start thinking about it, I have a whole list of things that we couldn't even do until 1970. Like, we couldn't own property, or we couldn't get a credit card. And we definitely did not have much of our history. I mean, things have changed, but I still have to question, how did we lose so much grounding? I mean, it's really amazing to me. It really is. And I must honor this woman. She was born June 30th, 1970, and she made her transition in 2010, and that was singer Lena Horne. She was the first African-American woman to sign a long-term Hollywood contract. She fought for contracts guaranteeing African-Americans could attend her shows. And you know something was so interesting about Lena Horne? She would come in, like she performed, say if she performed in Las Vegas, or let's say she performed in Chicago, she couldn't stay in the regular hotels. They'd have hundreds of white people would go to see her and applaud her and bring the house down. Because I, as far as I'm concerned, she was one of the most beautiful women you can lay your eyes on. And she had a beautiful, beautiful voice. But yet, when she left, she had to leave to the back door. And she had to go to some designated hotel that only that actually allowed black people, or particularly black women. You know, we've come a long way, but at the same time, it feels like there's this noose around our neck, like they're trying to pull us back all the way to the days when women didn't even have a voice. You know, I remember they put on my my report card when I was in kindergarten. The nerve of them. Elaine should understand that children should be seen and not heard. Can you imagine that? You know, but that's the way it was in the day. And what we did was, what we did at that time is when we grew into the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and women all of a sudden began to have a voice. And now they're just trying to take it away from us, you know. And I wonder, you know, I wonder what's going to happen because, you know, freedom, once you lose a freedom, it's very difficult to get it back. It's, look what it took to just end slavery. Look what it looked just to do affirmative action so we could have equality in the workplace, not just for people of color, but for women, you know, for disabled people, you know, so they'd have a better opportunity. I mean, I have to just scratch my head. Well, enough scratching of a head for the morning. You know, I'm sure everybody's out there scratching their head too. They're saying, what the heck is going on? But we just have to have faith and trust that somehow that we the people, if we stand up and we be heard, that changes will be made. In fact, when we take a music break, I'm going to play that great song written by Sam Cooke. The change is going to be made, you know, and it's still relevant. I can't believe that song is still relevant today. But anyway, before we do that, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And the whole idea behind the pledge is to lift our energy and to recognize that we have a right to be heard. We have a right to speak out. We have a right to say enough is enough. And I'm very fortunate. I have Ken here with me. Ken, you going to join me? And how about you, Andrea? Absolutely. I made a special card for Andrea. I'll tell you, I am so happy when Andrea is, you know, I have a secret desire, you know. I'd like her to do more radio with me. So I just pull her in any chance that I get. So thank you so much for being here, Andrea. And you'll join me in the pledge?
Of course. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so let's just really put some energy into it. First, I'm going to say it, then repeat after me. We go 1, 2, 3. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything.
On anything.
Outside of me.
Outside of me.
My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship.
On my relationship.
With myself.
With myself.
And my higher power.
And my higher power.
Whoa, and my higher power. So I'm going to say it one more time, and then we'll say it together, okay? Just listen to the words. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself, and I like to put my higher power, but sometimes I just have to say the creator, the great spirit, this magical mystery that we live in called a universe. So now let's say it together. I'm going to have Ken and Andrea. And the three of us are going to say it. Let's just bang it out there, just so people get a sense that it's okay to speak out. It's okay to be who you are. So let's go. 1, 2, 3.
My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me.
My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Take it in, guys. Take it in. I mean, it just makes me feel so good. It really does when I say that, because I have to remind myself. You know, when you're on radio or you write articles for the papers or whatever you do, or you go to, you know, different events, you know, you become like you're a person that people know or they think they know. And boy, they hit you with so many things, so many complaints. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you say this? Why don't you? And I just, as they're talking to me, and sometimes it can be very negative, I say to myself, you know, what you think of me is none of my business anyway. So my self-esteem doesn't depend on you and what your attitude or idea about me is. And that's very powerful. It doesn't mean you don't care about people. It doesn't mean you don't have compassion. But you know who you are. You know, and I think there's a saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in order to love your neighbor, you have to know who you are. You have to have good self-esteem, a good feeling about who you are. And once you understand that, then you know what your neighbor needs, and it's easier to interact. Well, that's a lot to think about. But you know something? That's the whole purpose of Women's Spaces. Get our thinking hats on. Stand up. Stand up for ourselves. Stand up for the future of our children. Stand up for the future of democracy. Stand up for the future of the planet, for God's sakes. Well, that's enough. No more soapbox, Elaine. We are going to take a musical break. And the song that I'm going to play is A Change Is Going to Come. And you know, it's very, very interesting. This song has a very interesting history because it was written by Sam Cooke. And what happened was is that Sam Cooke was very good friends with Malcolm X and also with Muhammad Ali. And they all had a meeting, and they met together, and it was a film. And they kind of accused Cooke of having ego, you know, like he's not really with the civil rights movement or what's going on. And he felt kind of bad about that. And so he wrote this song, and this became a very, very powerful song. It initially appeared on Cooke's album, Is That's Good News, released in 1964. And the song is inspired by various events in Cooke's life. Most prominently, when he and his entourage were turned away from a whites-only motel in Louisiana, Cooke felt compelled to write a song that spoke to his struggle and to those around him. And it's amazing how the song still holds true. But, of course, this is Women's Spaces, and so we're going to hear it by a woman, Lela James, and who does a wonderful, wonderful arrangement of it. And, you know, a change is coming. I mean, look at what's going. 5 million people out in the street on June 14th. You know, and I understand there's going to be another gathering in July. And then we have July 4th coming up, Independence Day. My grandson, my son-in-law, David Jensen, is born on 4th of July. Happy birthday, David. And I made him a card, and I start looking at all the information around 4th of July and what it means, the Declaration of Independence means to us. It meant that we were not going to be ruled by a king. But, you know, there was still slavery at that time. There were a lot of things that were not right. But it was the beginning of a dream, like Benjamin Franklin said, an experiment. And let's hope that we don't fail. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's go play A Change Is Going to Come. And when we come back, joining me in the studio is Dr. Andrea Hall. And we will be talking about Enid Pickett's song, Ancestors Are From Are African. And Juneteenth, African ancestors are African. And I just love this poem. And I think it's just as timely, just like this song is. So let's go ahead and play the song, Ken.
I was born by the river in a little tent. And oh, just like the river I've been running. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, you will. It's been too time.
Change is going to come. Wow. Not fast enough for me, I'll tell you that much. Well, for you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest joining me on the studio, Dr. Andrea Hall. Andrea, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Elaine.
You know, come a little close to the mic here. You know, I want to tell folks just a little bit about you. Andrea is the community outreach coordinator for the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. She's a member of the Juneteenth Festival Organizing Committee, which I have to say was an absolute fabulous success this year. She's a published author, and we're going to talk about it. One of her books is called Wake Up, and I just love it. I just bought it, and boy, when I get it, I say, yeah, good morning. I'm glad to be here today instead of, oh, God, another day, you know. And the book is very, very inspiring. And she is also a regular guest on Women's Spaces. And she will be reading and discussing the poem Ancestors Are Africans, written by Enid Pickett. You know, Enid was going to be on, and she had an emergency, a real special meeting that came up. And like, she was felt so bad. But I said, Enid, we're going to get somebody to read the poem, and I'm glad Andrea is here. So welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's talk. Before we read the poem, you know, this is called Juneteenth, Ancestors Are African. Give us a little bit of history about Juneteenth, what you know about it. What's the whole thing? Now it's a national holiday, which is just amazing. Talk a little bit about it.
Juneteenth is a celebration of the freedom of African slaves. We were enslaved as a people for hundreds of years, and when the slaves were finally freed after the Civil War, slaves in Galveston, Texas it's said that they did not know about it, although that story is sometimes refuted by others who said they did know. They just weren't allowed to be free, or they didn't have the resources to be free, but that they did know. So there's a little bit of a question in there about what actually happened, why it took 2 years longer for them to be freed than the rest of the states, rest of the slaves. So what we do now is we celebrate Juneteenth, because it was said to be around June 19th, but we do it like the third Saturday in June, whatever the 10th around there is. Like this last year, we had it on June 14th. And it's just so important for us to remember our history so that we can never repeat it again. The meaning of Sankofa, you know, it's hard to think about, hard to remember, especially for me because I'm pretty sensitive. I hate watching slave movies. I watched Roots, and I never ever want to watch another movie or film about the way slaves are treated. It's just too painful for me. So I really appreciate Enid Pickett for bringing it forth, because it is important for us to keep in sight so that we never, ever allow ourselves to be treated that way again, or to allow any human being to be treated so badly ever again.
I think that's why I said at the beginning that people of color have, you know, Native Americans, for example, black people in slavery. I mean, all that went on, they understand what freedom is all about. And they understand the importance of having it legislated rather than, oh, you're free, you know, but to have it a written doctrine that says, hey, this is the law of the land. And it feels like there's so much pushback now trying to go back. And I think what's happening is I think many of us are waking up across the board, across the globe, it feels like. Well, you know, as you know, during the festival, you heard Enid read her poem, Juneteenth, Ancestors Are African. As a coordinator of the festival and as author yourself, what impact? I know, boy, it really had a slam on me. You know, she was on the show and she read a little bit of it, and then when I saw her, heard her read it at the festival, I said, we got to get this on the air. And I'm not finished with it because I want her to come in and actually record it. But I want to go because it's the Freedom Festival is still happening, and I'm trying to support Raquel Holmes, who's been an excellent job on that, that, you know, that to have the poem. But what impact did it have on you? And now here you are sitting with a microphone in front of you, and you're going to be reading the poem with me orchestrating it for you. Well, tell me some of your feelings about that. You know, let's get real down and personal here. That's what Women's Spaces is also about.
Well, in all honesty, it's rather intimidating for me because nobody can do this poem like Enid. You know, it came from her heart, you know. And so when she reads it, you feel that. You feel that depth. So I will try to give it justice, but I'm glad that you're going to have her come on and do it herself. So very powerful. It just evokes images. She's such a wonderful writer that you can actually see and feel what she's writing about, you know, almost even smell it, you know. So I really give her credit for digging so deep into her soul to bring that forth.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and I'm going to say this because I'm kind of spontaneous. You know, bring her spirit into your spirit, because you're both women of color. You both have ancestry all the way back that influenced this poem. I mean, this is not just a poem. This is about your story, about, and that, try to, you know, they say you don't understand a person until you walk a mile in her shoes, you know, and you guys have walked many miles together. So let's get with it, you know. I just want to read. So I'm going to do something very formal. Okay, are you ready? Okay, here we go. To my listening audience, I want to introduce Dr. Andrea Hall. Andrea is the Community Outreach Coordinator for the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. She's a member of the Juneteenth Festival Organizing Committee. She's a published author and a regular guest on Women's Spaces. And she will be reading, and we will be discussing after she reads this, Ancestors Are Africans, written by Enid Pickett. So let's go ahead.
Juneteenth Ancestors Are African, a poem by Enid Pickett. Juneteenth was born 3 minutes past midnight, one hellish, hot, cloudless morning. After 18 sunsets in June, place Galveston, Texas, year 1865. Juneteenth ancestors are African. Her story begins in Africa. She herself is African and American. She is one of the original OTs, oldest triple. Sisters, trauma, and beauty are identical. They hang from poplar trees all across the South. Juneteenth parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents live to be over 400 years old. She wears her mother's dark velvet, smoldering, smoke-stained skin, scarred with warm memories and cold realities. She has dreams and nightmares at the same time. She chases sunbeams of justice and slippery shadows of freedom. Millions and millions of midday and midnight terrors render her into a restful, remorseful sleep. Juneteenth, onyx, oxymoron. Mysteries and misunderstood, delicately delivering destiny's dreams. She sings songs to tomorrow's children, long, lingering, lamenting lyrics, wet with buster-banging beats of enslavers' nightmares, moaning musical melodies of Malcolm and Mahalia. Juneteenth exists. Just imagine. Thousands and thousands of terrifying, tortured, tangled entrapments along survivor-less barren shores. She knowingly knocked down the damning door of no return. Cape Coast Castle, Ghana, West Africa. Her African ancestors are as real as the nose on my face. Hiding miracles in melanin. creating a world from broken promises, surviving a world of broken promises. She studies secrets in shooting stars, soaring across South African skies. She speaks lost languages and Afro futures. Octavia Butler knew her cousin. She walks in secondhand shoes, too tight to feel safe. Juneteenth is real, y'all. Juneteenth is alive. She lives covertly in between pages of forgotten history. She was conceived on bloody hemp as General Order Number 3. Handwritten, homemade, etched in ice cold indigo ink. She is an American legal decree issued 260 years ago, enforcing the echoes of emancipation. Echoes of emancipation. To disenfranchised residents of the state of Texas, freeing, yes, freeing, freeing all remaining enslaved peoples forever, a.k.a. leftovers from POTUS's white tie. Dinner party, 2 years in the shade, Juneteenth ended, so-called legal slavery. But before she was born, the U.S. was sick and suicidal, worshiping death and destruction. For four long, long years, she fought in the Civil-less War, the black and white blood brothers' war, tracking misery hounds across her flowerless gardens. Juneteenth combines June and the 19th. The rest is history. Well, except in 22 states like Florida. We keeps it real in California. She is the first African-American federal holiday, born from slavery directly into Jim Crow. Today, we remember her. Today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Remember all of her dreams. Remember all her destroyed destinies. Remember all her names. Remember she is buried in unmarked graves under tomorrow's tombs, trembling with truth. So when you hear the name Juneteenth, remember to listen with your third eye. Listen with your first heart. Wisdom is whispering. Wisdom is whispering. Whispering from Sankofa's bittersweet smiles. The ancestors are listening. The ancestors are listening. They know. They know who and what you are. Juneteenth. History knows your stories. Ancestors know your truth. Remember, slaves did not come from Africa. Oh no, slaves did not come from Africa. Teachers, poets, healers, farmers, scientists, architects, philosophers, mathematicians, artists, men, women, children, human beings came from Africa.
Wow, that was something else. Whew, just gave me the chills, the words. How did that feel? How did that feel in your heart and your being?
I had chills in my heart and my being, chills on my arms reading it. She's just such a great poet laureate.
It's really interesting.
Comes alive.
When you kind of reviewed it, what line or two stuck out for you?
Poplar trees. You know, I could see the trees, and I know many bodies, my ancestors, hung from those trees, even though she didn't really put it that way in here. It makes me think of Strange Fruit, you know, that song. Was it Billie Holiday?
Yeah, it was Billie Holiday.
Billie Holiday sang that song. So those.
And also thinking of what we talked about at the beginning of Ida B. Wells. Because Ida B. Wells went deep into the South to write that. I mean, when I think about Ida B. Wells, she had all these children, she was married, and yet she went into the deep South and did this amazing reporting. I mean, these women were beyond the pale. Well, you know, the one thing that really that really got me, that I thought was just amazing, as General Order Number 3, handwritten, homemade, etched in ice-cold indigo ink.
That's deep.
I mean,
etched and ice cold in the, you know, like you can just feel. I mean, mm-hmm. even though the freedom is there, but it's like, what, how, you know, did we know, didn't we know? And also what I found out in the research is that the soldiers that came were actually black soldiers of the Civil War that came to tell them about that. So that is really amazing. Well, Andrea, let's take another musical break. Okay. And I picked another song that I thought is really indicative of what we're talking about.
Another thing that I thought was really unique and powerful in this poem is how she wrote Juneteenth as a woman. You know, as opposed to just a date, a woman, how she referred to her as she.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also interesting because when you really start thinking about it, as much as men also suffered under mm-hmm. slavery, there was Absolutely. A whole nother layer, especially around the sexuality with women, the abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, not only that, you know, the abuse that the children, you know, they were nannies, the abuse that the children grew up thinking, mm-hmm. knowing that they could do that. Wow. So we're going to take another little musical break here, and we're going to listen to Ella's song. And I think this really addresses what we are talking about here. It's just, wow, it's just amazing to me. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Ella's song, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. I'm telling you, that poem just gets me all riled up. It is just so, it's so important, and it's such an important poem even for today. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about this marvelous poem written by Ingrid Pickett, and we're going to play the song, Ella's song, and we're going to also talk about Dr. Hall's book, Wake Up. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that.
As important as the killing of a white man, white mother's sons. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. The older I get, the better. The secret of my going on is when the reins are in the hands of the young who dare to run against the storm. To me, young people come first. They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light as they carry us through the gale. The only way my struggle survives. I'm a woman who speaks in a voice, and I must be heard. At times I can be quite difficult. I bow to no man's word. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. Freedom cannot rest until it comes. Not needing to clutch for power, not needing the light just to shine on me. I need to be just one in the number as we stand against tyranny. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. Until it comes, we who believe.
love that. We who believe in freedom shall not rest. Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night. You know, I realize that our democracy, which is so fragile. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, it's just amazing. Whoa, that's all I can say. And I want to correct the song. That was We Who Believe in Freedom, sung by Emily Ebert. There's so many songs that are kind of alike. This is kind of a takeoff on Ella's song. Ella's song was written with first Sweet Honey and the Rock did it. I'll never forget when I first heard it. Amazing song. We who believe in freedom shall not rest. You know, we all have to come together. You know, we have to come together as a human species. You know, I think we're mature enough right now. Our country's 250 years old. We have this wonderful communication where we can really see what's going on. So there's no excuse. You know, you can't avoid it. It's happening and you see it. And if you don't stand up for it, you're just agreeing to it. You know, it's the same thing that people don't vote. When you don't vote, you say, okay, do whatever you want. I don't care if we have democracy, freedom. It doesn't matter. Well, it matters to me. So I vote. And you have to start thinking about that. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And I'm continuing my conversation with Dr. Andrea Hall. She just read the poem, Juneteenth, Ancestors Are African, that's written by Enid Pickett. That was really just a marvelous poem that was read at the Juneteenth Festival. You know, I have to continue with this conversation, you know, that not only did you just read it on the air, but think of yourself listening to it at the festival. I remember listening, and now you read it. What did that bring up in you on a personal level as a woman?
On a personal level, it's sad. It's sad to think about and to imagine that actually happened to not just human beings, but my ancestors. And I really don't like to dwell in that place of sadness, so I know that we also are people full of joy and celebration, and that festival was really great. I was happy that Enid was there with I can't remember their exact name right now, but the band of women that she travels with Ngame and Rialis.
Oh, I can't remember it either right now, when they did that coalition. Wonderful prayers.
Yeah,
Enid Pickett players.
No, not the play. The women who do the libation.
The libation. It's the cafe. There's a cafe.
It's Nubian Cafe.
The Libyan
Cafe. There you go,
kids. Thank you so much.
Good
go to the head of
yes,
the class.
Yes,
Ken.
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, these men, some of them are pretty smart, huh?
That was really yes.
Thank you so much. By the way, you know, just a congratulations to Ken. He did a wonderful job his first time on Men's Spaces, and we are going to be doing our second interview, so that's really exciting.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you. Well, yes, I really enjoyed her presence and the presence of her and the Nubian Cafe Collective.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
And
I always love
beautiful.
It when they're there. I love the libation. They recognize my father and my mother when they do it, you know, because there's a few like founding members in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County. And so when I never have to say it, I did the first few times and then I started noticing that they picked it up and they started naming all of the, you know, founding fathers of Sonoma County or so in the African-American community. And I appreciate that every time they do it.
You know, they also included our neighbor, John Rogers, who died unexpectedly just around the age of 30 years old.
Ooh, no, I didn't know that.
Died young, but an ancestor now.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, wow. You know, ancestors, when you think about it, you know, how they influence us. And, you know, the most interesting thing that I find as we go through all the trials and tribulations today is that we're all immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. The only ones who are not the immigrants, I would say, are the Native Americans.
Yeah.
And even they came from, you know, places far away to come to the Americas. I mean, we're all, you know, we're all moving around constantly, and it's just so sad that we don't see each other as brothers and sisters. But, you know, you say that you're sad, and it makes you sad. It makes me very sad, too. You know, I mean, I myself, you know, I was brought up in a Jewish family, and when I see what's happening with Israel and with Iran and with the Gaza, it just breaks my heart. I just want to scream, you know, not in my name. You know, and there are many people that feel that way, you know. So it's a mind-boggler that human beings give themselves permission. Like in the line in the poem is from slavery to Jim Crow. You know, on some levels, Jim Crow was even worse than slavery, you know, because all of a sudden it's so out in the open that you're treated this way. I mean, it doesn't make sense for me. But at the same time, you wrote this wonderful book, and I would like, you know, you along with Enid, I mean, you just great writers. This book, Wake Up, I just want to read the beginning. Get up in the morning feeling happy to be alive instead of wishing you hadn't woken up at all. And, you know, when I bought the book as support of you. You know, I mean, it was very interesting. I mean, I got it. Let me tell you a quick story. You know, I'm just sometimes I don't see what's going on in front of me and I start talking. So Andrea signing the book and she signs to this woman who bought this book. She signs to Elaine and she goes, oh, my. And I just felt so horrible, you know. So, of course, I'm going to go back and buy the book. And so then Andrea says to me, she says, oh, no. She says, on a spiritual level, it must be that this book is meant to you. And but when I got home. And I looked at the title, you know, because I thought, well, I'm going to buy this for my granddaughter. I'm always buying it for somebody else. I thought, get up in the morning feeling happy to be alive. And said, and there are so many mornings that I would get up and say, you know, why did I get up? You know, so talk a little bit about this book. You know, I mean, in light of, I mean, here you're saying we've just read this poem, which brings us back to a very negative part of history, but at the same time, there was a liberation that happened. And people don't realize how many black soldiers there were that were fighting in the Civil War to bring this emancipation forward. And then the fact that Lincoln got shot and all the different things that happened around that. So here you are in 2020, about 2023, and all of a sudden you wake up and you have this inspiration. What was the motivation behind this book and how did you come up with the name?
The motivation is exactly what's written in the name. I woke up one morning and I was like, damn, I'm still here. And I really didn't want to be, I wasn't suicidal, but I really just didn't want to live life the way that I was living it anymore. I felt like I was living someone else's life, not the one that I wanted to live. You know, I was married with children. I tried to do, you know, the American dream, the whole thing with getting married, had a set of twins, had already raised another daughter. I was going to church, just trying to do the right thing.
Trying to be a good girl.
I was really trying to be a good girl, and I wasn't having fun.
Good girls never have fun. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody said.
And I was living as a codependent. And I tell you how that came to me, I never thought I was a codependent. I thought my mom was the best codependent ever, and she was. And she raised us girls, and so we learned to be women by her. I mean, she was a strong, beautiful, powerful woman, but she took care of everybody to the point of being codependent. And I was at a conference, a Watson Caring Science conference. My mentor, Dr. Jean Watson, she's a nurse and a metaphysician. And she just closed her eyes and let what I refer to as the Holy Spirit just feel her. And she began to speak. You know those kind of people who, when they speak, it's not even them. They kind of disappear and the Spirit just speaks through them. And she said, you cannot be a codependent and be whole. And it just, like a light bulb went off. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm a codependent. And at dinner that evening, I asked some of the women sitting with me. I said, man, wasn't that powerful when she said that? When she said it, I felt like she was speaking directly to me. And they kind of looked around and they're like, no, we didn't hear her say that. Not a single one of them heard it. Only I heard it. And so one of them pointed out, if you're the only one that heard it, she was speaking directly to me. And I just went home with a new sense of, you know what? I have to live my life differently. I'm not going to live it like this anymore. And that was the moment that I woke up, you know, as my book says, wake up, you know, and I was like, well, what am I going to do differently? So I had to make some changes. And, you know, changes have to come from within. Of course, they don't come from outside. So I had to get into alignment with that.
I think you make a real good point here about codependency, because what it finally got down to me, what it was, because my own suffering from, and I think all of us women, we are brought up to be codependent. We're brought up to serve our men. We're brought up to serve our children. you know, it, all the things, and there's no space for us. I mean, when I remember when I got married, you never heard of going and having a day at the spa. You know, like today I hear my daughter say, well, I'm going to go have a day at the spa, you know, because there's more of a sense of relaxation and what codependency is, particularly for women. But the point that happened is that you heard that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, most of us don't hear it. You know, I had a woman by the name of Charlie Toledo on. She was the head of the promo of the Siskel organization for Native Americans. And I asked her. I says, you know, Charlie, what do you think it is? What is going on? What's the problem with the leadership? What do you think? Where do you think they're operating from? And she said she thought they were all just injured children. You know, and when I think about codependency, I think when you The main thing about codependency is that when you want to say no, you say yes.
Yes.
You know, and so that is such a very yes. aggravating. And
that's
so
you
know, you get to the point where you don't want to wake up in the morning because you're saying yes to so many things. You just don't want to. I mean, the most – I was working on a project just recently, and all of a sudden I realized I couldn't do it. I couldn't believe the agony it was to just call up this person and say, you know, I'm sorry I made this commitment, but I have to bow out because I'm not, I mean, I had my surgery on my knee and the different things that happened, but it was a torment for me to pull out. I had to say no, but saying no is very difficult.
It is.
So how do you relate to that idea?
I think what you said is spot on. Codependency is when you're saying yes, when you really want to say no. You know, we have to get to the point to where we love ourselves enough that we'll take care of ourselves first and say no when we mean no.
And it's hard because we grow up in families, mm-hmm. you know, we have to do a dance. We have to say yes to our mother when we want to say no. Well, don't speak back to me. Mm-hmm. You know, all these different pressures mm-hmm. that are put on. And then finally one day you just say, oh, my God, let me out of this planet. Mm-hmm. Well, what is another thing that happened with the book? What is the core of it, do you think?
I hired a spiritual counselor, and she is the pastor of a Unity Church. You know, her pastor and mentor was Reverend Della Reese.
Oh,
remember
wow.
her? Yeah.
Yes.
And so I didn't know that. I heard about metaphysics on Facebook, and I got very interested, and I went in because, you know, I was born and raised a pastor's daughter, so I was very much raised in the church and had those teachings ingrained in me. So I Googled metaphysical Bible studies, and I found Reverend Sherry James right at the beginning of her starting her metaphysical studies, and she also offered one-on-one coaching, and she helped me through so many areas of my life. There's so way too much to tell for this small amount of time we have.
How can people get a hold of you, and how can they get the book?
I can be found at Holy Power Productions, spelled holypower.com. Holly. Power, one word, holypower.com is my website. My books, I have another set of books called The Metaphysical Love Stories, a trilogy, can be found on amazon.com. So if you type in Metaphysical Love Stories, my name should pop up, or B.Andrea Hall, PhDRN, my name should pop up.
I love that you say that, PhD. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud to know you. And I want to thank you, Andrea, from the bottom of my heart, for coming in, filling in for Indrid. You know, reading that poem as lovely as you did. You know, you're really a gift to the community.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and Ken.
So thank you both very much.
Well, it's very – I got to tell you, folks, it's very sneaky, boy. Any opportunity that I get to have Andrea on, I'm going to take it. I'm sorry. Well, folks, that's it for our show. Thank you to Dr. Andrea Hall. Andrea is a community outreach coordinator for the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce and also the author of a book called Wake Up. And I just love it. I just love the way it says, get up in the morning feeling happy to be alive instead of wishing we hadn't woken up at all. And the way the world is today, sometimes we feel that way. But remember, as long as you stand up and speak out, life becomes much easier for all of us. A reminder that I do every single Monday, I remind you, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that.
I mean, as women out there, if one child is unsafe, all children are unsafe. When I see those children walking around in war zones, I say, why aren't all the women standing up and saying enough is enough? Go back and read the Mother's Day Proclamation by Howell, and you'll see what we were talking about. No more war, no more killing of women and children and men. I mean, it's just a horrible thing. Well, tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired on Monday evenings. I get so excited. I get to listen to myself. Well, Ken's giving me the finger. Oh, one more minute left. To begin with, I just want to say this right now. You know, I announced at the beginning that Alice Waco passed away. You know, all of a sudden one day it's that day when we're no longer here. And it's going to happen to all of us. But I want to say this over the air. I love doing Women's Spaces. I love the radio stations that sponsor and present me. Thank you to all those people who sponsored Women's Spaces at our fundraiser. You know, don't be shy. You can still donate. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. You know, it's so important. And we did the pledge, my self-esteem did not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. That's a very, very important statement that you're making. It has a lot to do with loving yourself, loving your neighbor, loving the world that we live in. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 30th, 2025.